All right, everybody. Are you ready for some gamer news? There's actually a bunch of stuff this week. I'm M-Tashed, and I'm with...
Shut up.
Cagus HD and True Vanguard.
Good to see y'all. Good to see y'all.
Hi. There's just so many things today.
I'm so, like, hyped this up with energy to talk about this stuff.
Right?
These are some topics for some real gamers. Let me just say that, because, yeah, there is... some absolutely hot, bumping, sweaty, saucy,
sweaty.
Squirting Destiny.
Bro,
what? Come on,
I'm just
man.
Saying. We're just saying it, baby. We're just getting into it, baby.
We're going to get demonetized for this. All right, I'm going to stand up too because I don't want you to show me up. And I've been sitting all day grinding, bro.
Is the stream looking good? Because okay, now
yeah,
it looked like it restarted.
We're fine. We're good.
It was glitching out. All right.
Listen, we finally promoted this damn stream on our actual channels this week for like the first time in 6 months. So we can't give anyone the impression that we have these technical issues all the time, which we definitely do not.
No.
So let's just get started. Topic number one: Witch Queen hype. There is some crazy stuff going on within Destiny 2 this week. There was a brand new mission that went live, and this mission, it was called Exorcism, where you went and tried to, like, kill Savathun's worm, the thing infecting the hive, and it kind of worked, but also didn't work, and of course, it's just, like, a cool thing setting right up the Witch Queen launch, which is next week.
Yeah, I don't really care about it.
Yeah, right, you and your new Destiny 2 channel, you're gonna be simping for Destiny 2.
That's right.
When's the best hand cannon video going up, Gamer?
Tonight.
One tip to improve your hand cannon shot.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really excited about all this new stuff. And Savathun has been tweeting out and telling Paul Tassi to touch grass.
Yes,
I saw that.
Yes.
It's good.
They've really like swung for the fences this week. Like, I mean, we had the Vidoc last week. We had the new launch trailer this week. We got Savathun up on Twitter. We got a new mission that's kind of leading into the hype. Like, they're just pulling out all the stops to make sure that everybody knows. Like, everybody knows next week is Witch Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like the production value on that launch trailer is well above and beyond some of the stuff. I mean, they've always do a great job. But, like, even that cut of the Titan just running through the crowd, just pop, pop, pop. Whipping the shield and like
the tracking
the cinematic
shot.
It's just so clean and it just it gets you excited. Like, I actually like sent a clip of that shot to my buddies who don't play Destiny. I'm like, you mean to tell me you look at this clip and you're not hyped about playing this?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is like, what Battlefield or Call of Duty trailer have you seen recently and you're like, wow, I gotta try that? Compared to
literally,
Destiny, like if you look at the Witch Queen one, it's like, how couldn't you think, all right, what is this game? How in 2022 have the people that have hated on the game said the game's dead, how have they not looked at this and been like, okay, it's still going. It also, like, they're obviously doing a lot of crazy stuff here. Maybe I should try it again. That's what I'm wondering.
Beer delivery.
Ooh, congratulations. Maybe now we'll be able to put up with your insufferable...
I'm going to get even louder and interrupt even more.
Perfect.
That's right.
No, but I agree with you, Tash. Like, especially, like... you're seeing, they purposely showing off Glaive gameplay, the new abilities, the stringing abilities together, popping supers. Like, it looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, the last time I was really hyped to play a Call of Duty game was 2019 Modern Warfare, right? Just, like, the graphics were so insane, and obviously going back to, like, the modern real stuff.
Right.
But, yeah like, I watched the Call of Duty Vanguard trailer, and it was, like, a wash. Like, I literally didn't care about it. It was like this. I felt nothing. I felt nothing because it's like, oh, they're going back to World War II.
There's no innovation.
Is that a Thompson submachine gun? I would have never expected it. It's like, whoa.
Right. No, that's fair. I don't know. I just hope they deliver. And it's a unanimous hype train, like Forsaken was, or like Taken King was. Like, I just want to be kind of consumed in that for a month or so, and with the community. I need that. I need that in my system. Everyone's excited on Twitter, sharing their roles, and, you know, a catalyst drops that maybe we didn't know about, and it's like, oh, AO, what? What is this catalyst?
Yo, where did you get that drop?
Right? Exactly. That is the hype thing. And I love that when a new season drops and there's new catalysts and it drops in like your first game and everyone's freaking out about this new thing and racing to get it. And Void 3.0, bro.
Imagine you're in a Crucible game. Look, Emtash acquired Thorn Catalyst. You'd be like,
run, run, bro. Best hand cannon officially. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. You have to make another best hand cannon video a week after the first one.
I know I told you guys.
Do you know? Okay, now that you're on the topic, if Thorn did get a catalyst, what would you want it to be? Like a PvP one or a PvE focused one?
It would have to be a little saucy for PvP. What if it just gave it plus 10 range? Even just
right,
that.
If you just did range and stability, I mean, take like the Sunshot approach. Sunshot was just like, let's just give it heckin' range and stability. You know what I'm saying? Like, just do that treatment to the Thorn, because right now it's really not even all that popular on console. On M&K, it's a different story, but on console, people are like, I mean, it's kind of unwieldy compared to other hand cannons. I'd rather just use other hand cannons.
Do you know what I'd love to see? It did a percentage of HP. So, like, if you used it on a boss, it would, like... tick for, like, a percentage of raid boss HP or something like that.
I don't know about that.
But it's an exotic. It's an exotic, and you gotta stack it up.
That
it'd be like Anarchy.
Anarchy doesn't even have a catalyst either.
Yeah, true.
And it got nerfed to hell. Rip that.
It didn't need
definitely
one.
Definitely, in the Destiny community, there's just a lot of hype. Everyone seems pretty excited, and... I mean... Everyone seemed pretty, I don't know, like, it feels like there's more going on here for sure than, like, Beyond Light was a little sus. Because we were going into Beyond Light kind of, like, with the announcement of, like, sunsetting. And, like, everyone was kind of, like, pretty down because of that. Mm-hmm. But now it's, like, all positive, right? Like, I don't think they've aside from, like, the Titan Bubble nerf, which is, like, not the most insane thing ever. Like, it's just going into this DLC super positive.
Yeah, well, and another big difference, honestly, is that when we went into Beyond Light, we were like, wait, we're fighting who? Why?
Yeah.
Who's Aramis? I didn't know she existed.
Yeah,
why do we care? You know, and then this is like Savathun, you know, the big bad that we've known about for 7 years. And we've been talking about when's she going to come. And now, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big difference, too.
Mm-hmm.
100%. That's actually a really good point. Like, Aramis was literally like, I still don't know where she came from.
Right.
It was like not set up at all. It was like,
yeah,
oh, by the way.
We need to invent a bad guy for this DLC.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I care about Savathun and like what happens with her. And I would say that going forward, like now that Keitel's been in the game and everything, like if Kallus becomes a thing now after this, because, you know, you never know, I would care about that. Because it's like, it's been long enough. I had the taste, you know, I killed him, it ended up being a robot, and now I'm intrigued, and I'm like, okay, well, who the hell is this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so I definitely would, honestly, I kind of hope that's the next thing.
Well, he's supposed to like a shriveled up raisin, you know?
There was hints about what he was up to with the Presage.
Yeah,
Presage.
That's right.
Out trying to communicate with the darkness and all that stuff.
Right. So we'll see, but, I mean, it wrangled me back in. I had to make a whole nother YouTube channel, so like...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I would say that I'm a pretty salty, like, pretty opinionated Destiny gamer. You know, like,
you could have just said a Destiny gamer.
Yeah, true. But, like, even just, like, think about just, like, Burnout to the max, like, covering it for 7 years. I've played for years. I was gone. And, some of it was by choice because Genshin was so big. Some of it was frustration, I'm sure. But I'm all in excited again. And I mean, maybe that is part of the break, but a lot of the things I'm worried about are fixed. The crafting looks amazing. Void 3.0 and the knowledge, okay, well, Solar and Arc are coming.
This year.
Because, like, I just find all the classes so boring. And there's one thing on it where I'm like, get that out of here. Get that out of here, replace it with this, and I'm happy. And
yep,
so now
right.
that I can do that, I can make the Devourer way better than it was. Or you know, I can make that grenade build of my dreams, and I'm very excited to use and abuse different exotics with the Void 3.0. But, shit, every season there's going to be a new raid or dungeon. Every season there's going to be a new element
Crucible map
fixed. Then some Crucible
season,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, I'm in.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Awesome. And then...
So while you... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, moving on to the next topic. Okay, guys, apparently Battlefield 2042 just kind of happened, all right? It was no one's fault. Definitely not EA's fault, all right? There's people to blame. Not EA, not DICE, though. Apparently, they're just like, we had nothing to do with this. It was not our fault. So basically, they told investors that the reasons, part of the reasons that Battlefield 2042 died, and it is dead. I mean, Tash, go check what are the Steam numbers right now? Because it always blows me away. But apparently, so EA comes out and is like, yep, they blamed COVID, which of course is a little legit. Like, all right, now everyone's working from home. They don't have access to the office, like all that stuff. Obviously, a lot of other game companies are still releasing bangers through the same thing. You kind of lose that as an excuse when it's like, okay, Bungie's just about to release The Witch Queen.
If it was that big of a factor, you delay it.
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn is... We're going to talk more about that. Apparently, that game is insane. And, like, all these good games are coming out. So it's like, okay, I don't know about that. And also Halo. They were like, yeah, Halo came out the same time as us. Like, we didn't expect it. Because, like, it kind of jumped a week. Like, Halo came out a week earlier than expected for multiplayer. So they kind of blamed that a bit, too. And it's just like...
So, again, delay it.
Yeah.
Halo did not cause your game to crash on day one. Halo did not cause game-breaking glitches where you could not even load into the game.
Listen. The developer, True TV, was like gonna push his button on the fix the entire game, and then he's like, Halo came out, and he went and played Halo. Yeah, he got distracted.
Yeah. Well,
Battlefield 2042 has 2,456 players right now. Battlefield 1 has 2,593, so it has more players, and then Battlefield 5 has double that at over 5,500, and it's like, okay. You can blame it on COVID, but every game had to deal with COVID. Yeah. But blaming it on Halo Infinite, Halo Infinite has 15,000 concurrents. All right? Halo Infinite is not Lost Ark with 1.3 million. Like, what is the highest peak of Halo Infinite? 100,000 average players. Okay, on Steam. I think there was maybe another peak, if I go to all time. The highest was like 250, but the average in the first month was like 100,000. After the first week, it dropped very rapidly, and then it's been consistently dropping, you know, 30 to 40 to 50% every single month since release. And it's like, it's not like everyone is playing Halo Infinite and that's the only game. People went back to Apex. Apex has been updating. They went back to Warzone. They just don't want to play your game because it's bad and it's broken.
You got to think about that. Think about that. 2,000 concurrent players, right, on Steam. And then you split that up between, you know, Portal and non-Portal, and then the playlists within the, you know, the All Out Warfare playlist. I mean, you got to imagine how terrible these matches are. Like, your queue times are forever. And when you get in there, everyone's, like, chopping and lagging around. Like,
I say this from experience. In the game right now.
It's to the point where when you load in, you look around, the other player's like, oh, there's Frank, there's Mikey. Yeah, I know all these people because these are the only people I see. Yeah, terrible.
I mean, how many people in that are just sitting in the lobby, too? Like, they've loaded up the game, but they're not even in the games, you know? They're just chilling there.
I mean, how many... It's kind of funny that they blame it on COVID and then a game that came out during COVID launched, like, more complete. That's just, like, so funny to me. It's just, like... And it's concerning because it's like they should not be making excuses. They should be owning it. Be like, yeah, we rushed this out. Because to me, it's concerning because it's like, did you guys not learn your lesson? Like, is EA going to be like, you know, the next Battlefield? They're like, just get it out. What could go wrong again? Like, how many times? It's like the SpongeBob. Like, how many times do I have to teach you this lesson, old man? Like, how many times does EA have to release a game too early and kill a franchise? Like, bro, EA, relax.
Do you know what popped up in my Facebook memories today?
What?
I tweeted a picture from Anthem? from the Anthem credits saying, hey, this is the first video game, like, AAA title that I have official credits in. And it was the Anthem credits. And then I'm like, oh, no.
I know.
Oh, no.
I'm in there, too. Listen, the funny thing is, hey, we made that game as good as we could.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have launched without me and you and some of the other people there to give them advice, that game would have been even worse. So just think about that for a second.
What's also crazy is Anthem probably launched in a better state than Battlefield 2042 did, and everyone roasted Anthem.
It really did. I still have a whole Anthem conspiracy, but I do think that like part of the reason that game died is that like there was this huge whirlwind of like the, you know, the negativity YouTubers, like every thumbnail is the downward red arrow.
Yeah.
That were like, this game, it's just EA and this game is evil, like off the start. Like there's all these rumors about like it was pay to win and like how much the skins would cost and stuff before the game ever released. And then like it came out, and then it's funny how like all these people who were saying these things about like the skins and how much it would cost and all that stuff, when it came out that like that was not true at all, they all just were kind of like, oh, and just moved on. Like never them, they never addressed like, yeah, I completely lied about like this game being like a ripoff, and it never was. I just, that always annoyed me. It's kind of like, if you want to crap on Anthem for having like nothing to do in the end game content, for delaying the Cataclysm event months when it needed to come out, by all means. But like so much of the criticism was like just weird stuff, like didn't like really matter that much. It's like, bro, who cares about the store prices? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
I that's kind of what I like about Moist Critical, is like he'll critique something and then be like, oh, actually I got that wrong, and then he'll like call himself out and like try to correct, you know, what he said wrong and stuff. But
yeah, exactly, you know. Like, yeah, I had some legitimate fun with Anthem. Like there was some fun build crafting. I still like the movement. I still like being able to switch between the classes, like kind of at ease. And like you'd have one progression through all the classes, unlike Destiny, where it's like I have to level up my Warlock, then I have to level up my Hunter, then I have to level up my whatever.
Right.
So that was nice. But you know, we're off topic. But the point is like, Anthem had potential. Battlefield 2042 had potential. All these EA games have potential, and they do things right. It's just like some dingus at EA HQ is like, ship it. I don't care. Ship it. And it's like, dude.
It is so, you're fired. And it's their fault.
Yeah, exactly. It's Halo's fault.
Yeah. I think we can segue nicely, honestly, from that, though, is like, you get these games that have the potential. Some get fixed, some don't. Example, No Man's Sky. They're getting another update. It looks super, super good.
What a comeback story.
Right? I mean, that game is not the same.
I just want to say really quickly, like, that's the thing about, like, Anthem. Like, I'm saying, like, it had potential. No game was, like, more crapped on than No Man's Sky. Like, you know, there's a petition to get their money back from Battlefield. Like, the same thing happened with No Man's Sky. It was ripped apart and ridiculed, and it was like, it was so much, like, got so much hate, No Man's Sky, more than Anthem, and it was potentially more broken than Anthem,
right,
and less to do than Anthem, and then the devs just buckled down and fixed the game, and now it's, like, huge.
So, it's massive.
And that's kind of another thing of, like, why did EA have to pull the plug at Anthem? It's like, you guys really couldn't put a, like,
you put
like,
all
literally
effort
the same,
into crafting this world.
At the same time, No Man's Sky is like becoming a banger. They're like, oh, we got it wrong.
Give up on
get
it.
Rid of it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it really is a big shame because I've been playing tons. I now have about 40 hours into No Man's Sky in the last few weeks when I first, because I bought it on launch. I played it for 15 minutes. I put the disc back in the case. It's a literally, I can see it right now up on my shelf covered in dust.
Yeah.
And then it was on sale for $30 a few weeks ago. I had only heard good things about it. I was like, well, why not? Me and my wife.
Yeah.
My wife's playing it right now. Literally right here next to me. She's playing No Man's Sky. Because we're loving it. There's so much to do. And she was telling me, she's like, I was on the Reddit, you know, the subreddit for this game. And it's really funny to see all these people, like, talking about where it came from. Because that's not the No Man's Sky I know. That's not the game that I know.
Right.
And it's like, man, Anthem totally could have done that. You did all this work to craft this huge world, the mechanics, everything. There's a lot that it was good. And if you just been okay to invest in it further, I think it could have come full circle.
And
coming full circle, we got another game we're going to talk about in a couple topics of another game that came full circle. Like, this is not impossible stuff or unheard of stuff.
Right. Let's just jump to that one. We can come back to the Nintendo stuff. Are you talking about Cyberpunk?
Yes, I was Cyberpunk.
Yeah, bro.
Another comeback story, potentially.
It was on sale a while ago. If you're one of those people that waited to play it, oh, you're laughing. Quest, right? Quest, a bunch of updates. It's, what did they call it? Cyberpunk 1.5 update?
It's 1.5 update. It added a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, now you've got, like, new apartments you can buy and live in. You've got, obviously, one of the biggest things is next-gen update.
Like, yeah, you could play
it,
right.
You can play it as a PS5 game, not a PS4 game that's on your PS5. That's a big deal. Same thing with Xbox. And this is all free. I mean, if you already owned the game, you get that update for free.
How much better does it look cities? On next gen?
Huh?
How much better does it look like as a PS5 game on next gen?
I haven't booted it up myself today because it just dropped. But some of the side by sides that I was watching, because other people already put up some gameplay, it looks considerably better. But one of the biggest differences isn't necessarily about the quality of the picture. I mean, you are getting a better quality picture. But one of the biggest updates with the next gen update is that the PS5 can just do more. It can populate the city. Because that was a big deal. Yeah. Playing it on PS4, you're like in this huge metropolis, like hyper futuristic city. Dude. And you're walking around, you're like, I'm in a big city, and I'm the only one here. Yeah. Like, you see a person over there and a person over there, but you're like, it's like if you were in, it feels like you're in I Am Legend. You know, he's walking through the streets of New York City and there's nothing. Right. That's what a game felt like. And now it's actually a bustling city and they added in like police chases. You can just be doing your own thing and suddenly some cars are going to go flying by you, guns, guys hanging out the door, and the police are going after them. You feel like you're a part of, in this world, you know?
Do you think that you'll jump back into it or is it? Or have you played enough, like so much of it, you're like, it's not going to change enough for me?
Well, I've done two full plays. So here's the thing. If you've already completed everything there's to do in that game, it didn't add new content for you to interact with. It just kind of changed the world that you're in and really brought it up to speed, so it's so much better. So if you were to do a fresh playthrough, it would feel way different than your previous playthroughs, no doubt. They also, one of the things they did is they completely overhauled the skill trees. Like, completely new abilities, like shurikens and stuff that are poison darts. Some crazy stuff that they did. So they actually refunded all of your skill points. So if you load the game back up on a character you've already played, you can just reinvest those the same way you just had it. Or you can be like, they completely changed the way I could play the game. I'll spend these differently.
Right. Tash, is it time to buy some CD Projekt Red stock?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into it.
Because it's on a discount right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe it's the time.
We are not financial advisors.
Right. Yeah, you should not trust me, boys. I'm in the hole bad. Yeah. Thank God Genshin is still getting views or else I'd be crying.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah,
I mean, thought the Wall Street Bets meme stocks didn't work out, dude.
Yeah, right. I didn't do that. It was worse. Anyways, so let's jump in with the Nintendo stuff. They are sunsetting some of their titles. They're making it so you can't purchase anything on the Wii, essentially. The Wii U, the Wii.
Wii U, 3DS.
3DS, which is... I still use my 3DS from time to time. It's funny,
take
though,
the shop down.
You take a little bit of a break, you come back to the 3DS, and it's like, this thing is so slow. There's a couple games where it's like a random battle starts, and it's like taking a couple seconds, chugging along, the battle finally starts. You're choosing in the menus, and it's like, oh my god, I've wasted 4 minutes just trying to choose the run button. If you thought the Switch was bad, the Nintendo 3DS is a nightmare for frames.
But
so one of the biggest complaints people are like, okay, so you're taking the store down. Mm-hmm. You're taking the store down because they don't want to support it anymore. It's work for them to support the store, I guess. I don't know.
Widow Nintendo. They're making $3 billion a year or whatever.
We're losing
like
money on this. Yeah. Well, the problem is Nintendo's like, hey, don't freaking pirate our games or we will sue you. Okay, where can we buy your games?
You can't. Stupid.
You can't.
Literally.
Excuse me. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was so freaking good, and I played it on my buddy's console or on my mom's console. But now I'm grown up; I have my own. I was thinking maybe I could go back and buy that. No.
Yeah. And it's like, oh well, you can buy it on eBay off someone else for $75. And it's like, what do you gain from that? Why do you care if I pirate it? You're not getting a cut of some random used right. sale. Like, just let me pirate the game. Let me play it. Don't send ninjas to my house and slice me up when I...
But it's like, what is really the upkeep to keep Wii U online up? Or just say, hey, we're taking the online part down. Like, just play the single player versions of the games? Or do they all have that, like, DLSS BS where they won't work offline, or like what's the deal?
I don't know.
I assume you can still play games. You just can't buy any more games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the shop's going away.
I don't know. I'm sure there's not that many people buying them, but it's also like, it's just such a weird, Nintendo just does these like weird anti-consumer things where it's like, I mean, like why, like, well, who is it hurt, Nintendo?
Imagine there's a Wii U title that you love the score to, and you used to listen to that score on a YouTube channel, but then Nintendo shut them down.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Now you're like, well, the only way I can listen to the music for this game is if I go buy it and play it, and then I can relive that. Right. Nope, can't do that either.
Bull. You know, the only thing that they've done good recently, and it didn't even happen, it's just like a theory, is one of the people that worked on Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, back on the Super Nintendo, they said, before I retire, I'd love to do Super Mario RPG 2. So it's not even confirmed to happen. It probably never will happen, but just the thought that that could, I will wait. And that'll be the last game I buy from Nintendo, and then I'm done. But I can't give up hope that one comes out, because that's like my childhood favorite game. But I just have no real, I don't want to support Nintendo really. Nothing they're putting out is super exciting. I mean, Breath of the Wild 2, I'm sure I'll play it because I did like the first one. But it's more the Zelda. I'm just such a big Zelda fan. I don't want to play Super Mario Strikers. I don't want to play Super Mario sports games really anymore. They used to be fun. Now they're kind of novel. I don't know. I think they've lost me overall as a gamer. I just am into different things.
When you look at, it's Super Mario, but he's playing soccer. Meanwhile, like Horizon Zero Dawn is like the most incredible graphics and all these features or whatever. And we're like, look at how Mario kicks the soccer ball. Whoa!
You can put fire on the ball.
He kicked it so hard it's on fire. And it's like, oh my god, dude. Like, you guys are, or it's like, we finally made the Pokemon roam around game that everyone's been asking us to do for 2 decades now. It's like, go, congratulations.
And there's like one Pokemon on the map. Bro, I've been watching footage of that game. That is the worst looking video game. It looks like a PS2 game. Like, you can't tell me that is a 2022 game. Mega Man 64. Mega Man Legend 64.
That game was dope.
That game was dope. It looks better than the new Pokemon game, bro. You're fighting robots. You got your Buster Gun running around. It was kind of open world.
You're like skating around. Too.
Yes, right? They got cars going around. I was like, there are more polygons in Mega Man 64. There are more creatures on the map than Pokemon.
There's one type of terrain, muddy slash grassy. That's it. And then the hills are just muddy slash grassy hills, and it goes down to muddy slash grassy fields, and then there's muddy slash grassy mountains, and it's like, bro, there's no, like, the forest is like two trees, they can't get too close, they can't render more than one tree at a time, you don't even know you're in a forest.
They're clipping into the side of the hill, and...
Yeah, like, jungle, nope, like... seashore, beach, underwater, all this stuff. Nope. Muddy, grassy. That's what we got for you.
Yep. Let's go to Horizon. Because you just mentioned it. It's in the thumbnail.
We've mentioned it several times.
Right? The rumor is this game is going to be the best open world game to date. Will it get to that level? I don't know. Will it be game of the year? Maybe. Right?
But the hype from the reviews is insane.
Yeah.
And this is like reviewers who tend to be heavily critical, very honest, brutally honest, are like, I can barely say anything bad about this game. Like, there's a couple of things.
The sellouts like SkillUp are going to say, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, like that's my point. Like, people like SkillUp, people like, they are like, bruh, this game is nuts.
It's giving Ghost of Tsushima and like God of War review vibes. Like everyone's saying it's really good, and that's what I was hoping for. I want it to be, you know, a God of War quality, Ghost of Tsushima quality type game. Fight a bunch of dinosaurs. Continue the story. I thought the story was kind of interesting and
really compelling. Interesting story.
I want to see where they go from there.
And, like, the exact opposite of what you just said about Pokemon Arceus is that, you know, the world that you're interacting with is bland, dreary, inconsequential on the gameplay. It doesn't impact anything. Exact opposite. You go to Horizon Forbidden West, and I've watched several reviews. I have watched probably 3 hours worth of Horizon Forbidden West gameplay this week alone.
Really?
From these reviewers. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited about it.
You said you're jumping in right at launch, like, grinding.
I am. And, like, and one of the things that everyone is saying is they're like, this world is so detailed and populated in a way that is meaningful. Like, you can't just, you can get on your mount, and in most games it's like point and click and it'll go that way. But in Horizon Forbidden West, like, the elevation is changing. The way you have to interact with the map changes. Interesting things are popping in and out. And it's like, you're forced to dismount and interact with the environment all the time. And just looking at it, it is such... I mean, the world is, what's the best way to say it? It's so not two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times it's like, well, okay, well, this is like a sort of, a lot of games follow the sort of biome kind of a format where they're like, this space needs to look kind of like this. And so you can see clear edges of that space. Okay, this is sort of a deserty vibe until you get to that point.
Like Minecraft where it's like hot, 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 and then it's snowing here. From this point, it's snowing.
That's right. And Horizon is just like, it's just the whole landscape seems completely organic. Like it became that way on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to play it, man.
Yeah.
You've hyped me. I might get it now, dude.
I know. I'm making a new channel now.
M-Zero Dawn. Let's do it. I mean, it's crazy. It's just kind of like, why does it have to come out now? Why does it have to come out so soon? And then Witch Queen and then Elden Ring. Like, I can't... Since when is, like, February? Like, Before Christmas! February is the new November!
We just need to move Christmas. That's what it is.
The nice thing, though, is like, kind of like Cyberpunk, because you can come back later. Elden Ring, I want to play it so bad, but... I've got other priorities. I'm going to go back and play it later. I'm going to try not to get spoiled of anything Elden Ring. I don't want to see any bosses or nothing. We'll see how the power grind goes. Maybe I'll still, you know, dabble a little bit. But it's honestly, okay, does it kind of feel like, hey, maybe gaming is going to be back? I feel like it's been dry, bro. I feel like it's been so dry. I have nothing to look forward to. And now there's almost too many. And I'm excited. I'll play catch up. But I wasn't even able to play catch-up before. There's just nothing to chase. There's nothing to be excited about. There was no games that had me really anticipating them for such a long time. And I understand, you know, with the pandemic, that slows things down and it delayed everything. You know, some were 6 months, some were a year and a half. But maybe now we're on a good pace for the future, which is great.
So I got there's a couple of comments after what we're saying. One guy with the $5 donation, thank you, Josh, said, like, well, is it really going to be as impactful as you guys are saying because it's exclusive? Mm-hmm. And that Horizon. Is a big bummer. Like, a lot, you know, just like God of War. God of War was huge, super popular. Everyone thinks it's amazing, but there's a huge portion of people who, like, didn't even play it. The one thing I will say is that the old Horizon recently came to PC. And so I would expect eventually this new one will come to PC as well. It might be a couple years from now, but it, you know, that will eventually include more people. And obviously when it does come to PC, it'll be upgrade fidelity. It'll look even better. So that is an interesting thing that some of these exclusives, they don't remain exclusive forever.
Right.
Well, and also it's like, I understand that POV and I real quick fact check this because I wanted to make sure I wasn't wrong. Horizon Zero Dawn won 52 awards, including Game of the Year.
Yeah,
and that was exclusive.
Last of Us 2. Like, The Last of Us won awards, too.
Yeah.
Like, yes, exclusivity isn't necessarily a great thing. I totally agree. But, I mean, the game's still fan-freaking-tastic, and it's probably going to be on PC eventually, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean... PlayStation kind of does release, like, really high-quality exclusives. Like,
Ghost of Tsushima was cracked.
Ghost of Tsushima, then Horizon series, God of War series, Last of Us. Like, bangers, dude. I hate to admit, like, you know, the PlayStation exclusives, like, the studios they got, they give them enough time to make the games, like, exactly right. And then Xbox... I mean, Halo's kind of, you know, was a little bit of a struggle bus to get out the wind out of the gate and stuff, but Xbox is now just competing with the Game Pass. They're basically said, like, look, we can't, I think they said, like, look, we can't really compete with the quality of games that PlayStation's putting out. Let's compete with the volume of games, and now we have Game Pass and all this stuff.
Yeah, bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is totally understandable. You know,
this is really funny. They're like, Horizon Zero Dawn is a system seller, but no one can buy the damn system. Yeah, like, no one can get a PS5. That is kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's a bit of a doubt. You can play it on PS4.
I haven't even tried to get a PS5 or an Xbox, to be honest with you. I probably could get one. I don't know. I just haven't even really cared.
I got somebody who can get one for you. One of my moderators has been getting people PS5s like crazy. She's real good at it.
Also, apparently we can get hot girls and boys in video chat.
Yeah. I know. Who is dumb enough to click those? Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Hot girls in my local area?
Those are like Russian bots. It's all unregulated stuff. Like, trust me. Like, you don't want to click on those things,
no,
guys.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You know where to go for that kind of content, all right? And if they have to advertise it on YouTube, you know it ain't legit.
But
don't click
they're
on it.
Hot singles in my area, TV. They're in my area. How they do I know they're
be,
in my area?
It could be right next door.
Ooh.
You got a hot single in your office right now. I'm looking right at it. Anyways.
Oh, single now that I mentioned is hot single.
Let's move on to the next topic here. We're going to get to BioShock in a second. I saw a comment about the Uncharted film, and it was like, this was exactly what I expected it to be. And I was like, is it good? And then it was just one of those gifs where the guy's looking at you like, what do you think?
Yeah.
I saw a couple clips from it too, and it's, you know, the acting and just some of the stuff is like, what are you doing? If you're going to make an Uncharted movie, it's got to be really, really epic, really cool. They've got some of the set piece stuff. You know, I saw a fight in the plane. But, like, Nathan Drake's kind of a, you know, he's kind of a suave, like, funny
Nathan
guy.
Drake should be, like, a 40-year-old man. It should be, like, Nathan
like
Fillion.
Indiana like Indiana Jones style, yeah.
Dude, it's like some, you know, executive, like, you know, Harold Weinstein is like,
who's the hotness right now?
Yeah.
Tom, I looked it up. This Tom fellow was really selling like crazy. Everyone loves him as Spider-Man. Let's hire him. And no hate to him at all. Like,
I love Tom Holland, but he is not Nathan Drake.
Yeah, if someone was like, Rick Kackus, do you want to be in the new Uncharted movie? I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to blame Tom Holland. But it's like, it's just, I think that threw a lot of people off right the way. Because he does not look like Nathan Drake. Mm-mm. And then
get like if you can get Nathan Fillion, get someone cool, kind of like the guy who played Jaime Lannister. I can't remember his full name. Like someone like that.
A long name. It's like he's
just like a cool dude.
I kind of prefer when they do stuff like that, because like a lot of times when you bring in somebody who's known for an iconic role, like you can't separate the two. Like when you see him, you're like, that's Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like when you bring in these kind of like really talented but lesser known actors, like one of the, like what they did with freaking The Mandalorian, right? They bring in Pedro Pascal, and not a lot of people really knew Pedro. You know,
unless
what I mean?
You're watching Narcos, like
unless
me,
you're watching Narcos, which was awesome, by the way. I really enjoyed Narcos.
Did I recommended it, right?
I watched it because my wife watched it start to finish, and she was like, "You got to watch this with me," and I was like, "No, that sounds lame." And
I recommend Narcos to everybody.
I was hooked.
Honestly,
so good.
I would rather see Jason Bateman as Nathan Fillion than like Tom Holland. Just like, even though Nathan, or like, even though Jason Bateman is like notoriously like a comedy guy, he's in Ozark, but it's like, if he like dressed like Nathan Fillion and like tried to do like the, you know, Uncharted, like maybe he'd be able to pull it off. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. The reason that this movie, I haven't even seen it, but it's like what I've heard, like the reason this movie maybe isn't so good is not like Tom Holland's fault. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, it's not his fault.
But it's like, unless the movie is perfect, What? You're gonna notice.
Come on, they got Marky Mark. They got Marky Mark.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
But that's what I mean. Like,
and he's like, hey, this is my cat. I brought my cat with me. I bring him everywhere. And it's like, that's not solid. Like, that's not the same character. Like, it's just, I don't know. Not for me.
But again, it's like, the movie would have to be literally perfect for people not to be bringing up, like, Tom. It's like, as soon as the movie's not perfect, people are like, well, yeah, like, look, Nathan, the guy they got to play Nathan Drake doesn't even look like him, right? Like, you kind of bring all those things up. It's almost as bad as True Vanguard would be mad at me saying this, Boba Fett episode 3 when they're riding the incredibly slow scooters.
And I'm not gonna be mad at you. That scene was terrible.
I almost died of cringe. I almost passed out and died. That one girl has 17 mirrors on her stupid bike, and I'm like, why did he need these many mirrors to look backwards? Like, she's like checking like every mirror, every angle. I'm like, this is the cringiest thing I've ever seen.
Okay. What the hell? So cool thing. Have they announced the casting for the new BioShock film?
No.
Please nail it. Please nail it.
I feel like they might have.
I'm really excited about it. Oh, Nolan North is Nathan Drake. Oh yeah, Nathan Fillion. Yeah, sorry, Nolan North is Nathan Fillion or Nathan Drake. Right. Okay. Anyways,
speaking of voice actors, do you do Troy Baker?
Wait.
With BioShock?
Okay.
It depends on what storyline they're going with.
Never mind.
What arc they're going with.
Yeah, true.
But BioShock Infinite, Troy Baker, I know that he's not everybody's favorite right now. He kind of lost some favor over the NFT stuff.
Yeah.
But really talented guy. And before all the NFT stuff, I hate to remember somebody solely for the things they did poorly. Mm-hmm. I try to be fair. He did awesome in Infinite. BioShock Infinite was the last, I think it was the last game that I ever, story game that I ever played start to finish in a single sitting. Like, I got that game, I started playing it after dinner one night, and I played it until I think it was like 10 in the morning. I literally called in that I was going to be late to work.
Really?
Yeah, because I was so hooked. I could not put it down, and that game was fantastic. So I don't know. It depends on where they go with the whole BioShock arc, because the games are vastly different. Mm-hmm. You know, from title to title, they're all in the same universe, but they are vastly different.
I liked
sort of a vibe.
I liked one and two. Well, I liked especially one for whatever reason. I think just because it was the first one. I just liked that world a little bit more than. I can't remember what they were called. Like the one kind of in the sky, like the
city in the sky with Infinite. I loved that one personally.
It was good, and like I kind of liked some of the story with it. I think her name was Emily.
BioShock
and
1 was iconic though, and it has like the really like horror esque vibes.
Right? And like, are you gonna do a horror BioShock?
It was creepy, right? You're under the water and like everything's leaking and stuff. It was creepy,
and
it's
daddies.
Like. It's smart because it's like you have all these crazy IPs like you immediately hear like BioShock movie and gamers like, oh, like really? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because everyone loved the original BioShock especially, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, why wouldn't they? Why does it take them this long to even think of this? Like,
right.
I would be like, BioShock movie. What are you guys, stupid? Like,
get Chris Pratt. Get him in here. Oh, wait, sorry. Wait, what?
Chris Pratt, the voice, everything. But it's like, dude. BioShock movie, creepy underground vibe. People love horror movies these days. Most easiest villain. Oh, a big, huge guy with a diving bell thing and a drill for a hand. That's a creepy. Yeah, we're done. Like, we're done. This is the creepiest thing ever. Set it up. We're good. Get Chris Pratt in it. We're good.
Get Chris Pratt, yeah. Yeah, speaking of video game movies and shows, well, productions, I suppose. Definitely excited about that one. We also, I think this week we were told there's going to be a little bit of a delay on The Last of Us. Series
movie
or which I think is probably a good thing. I mean, anytime I hear somebody say we're gonna take a little more time to make sure it's good, I'm on board with that, you know. So hopefully it's a good thing, but I think that is Pedro Pascal as Joel.
They were filming here. They were filming right beside my brother's building.
That.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
They needed a decrepit wasteland, so they went to Edmonton.
Yeah, right?
That's right. So that'll be cool. I'm excited for that one.
Halo?
Oh, we got Dwayne The Rock Johnson saying...
Yeah, Halo. But, listen, Halo TV show looks cool, but it's on Paramount+.
Yeah.
And, like, I listen, I already got Netflix. I already got Disney Plus.
And
I already
Hulu
got I got Prime. I don't have Hulu, and I have Crave, which is like Canadian. It's like HBO Go and stuff. And I'm like, "Bruh, I got to get another one. I got to get Paramount Plus." And I don't even know what is even on Paramount Plus. And can I even get it? Or is it going to be states only? Cuz I know like that Peacock thing, which like that's US only, and like the so Canadians, we still get like Friends, because we don't get, and like we don't even get ESPN Plus and stuff. So it's like, am I even gonna be able to watch? Am I gonna have to like go to a sussy website to go get watch Halo?
Hey,
like, how's that gonna work?
Russian bot in the channel or in the chat, yeah, can you link us to Paramount Plus
streaming site? Like, honestly, though, I think that's the one holdup. Like, if it was coming out on Netflix, everyone would be so hyped, but it's like, I gotta pay another, you know, $8 a month, $10 a month to go and get Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. And that might be kind of the thing holding it back a bit.
Right.
But it does seem like people in other industries are starting to catch on. Like,
I guess VPN, hey, yeah. Just use a VPN.
Gaming's kind of a big deal, guys. You know what I mean? So they're starting to jump on board, so we're seeing some more productions. I mean, obviously we got some success stories already with the Arcane series being so highly celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we've got the whole Halo show coming out, and The Last of Us. Now we're talking about BioShock. You got Dwayne The Rock Johnson tweeting out, hey, we're doing another video game movie, and it's going to be the biggest, best thing ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the industries are catching on. So hopefully this is overall a good thing. And then obviously one of the things we've been talking about is how Sony Interactive is purchased Bungie because they want the Destiny IP and they want to do things with it. So there's a pretty rich history here. I really hope they take it seriously. The biggest thing really is just going to be, are they going to honor the source content? Because if they don't, I mean, every time they don't, it sucks. And it's like, and they keep making that mistake. They're like, let's make a video game movie. The gamers will love it, but the gamers aren't going to love it if you don't honor the source material.
Yeah. Like the Monster Hunter. And stuff like that. It's like, what? What's going on here? You guys are tacking it on. Like, Sonic, Sonic, they brought him to the real world, but it worked. They made it work. I feel like they just don't realize how much gamers care about the lore and the characters. And they're like, Sully would never do that. Like, and they'll call you out on it, and like, that's not what the character does. Why are you doing this? Think about Harry Potter and the Harry Potter movies. If all of a sudden Harry Potter comes in and he's got blonde hair, slick back, and he's like, hey guys, it's me, Harry Potter. And it's like, what the hell? That's not Harry Potter. That's what they do with gaming, right? Ron Weasley's got a leather jacket, and he's like a greaser, and he's like, hey, Hermione, give me some sugar. It's like, what?
It's me, Ron.
What is trash?
Weasley.
I guess you can see why I'm wheezing as I puff this cigar.
Played by Chris Pratt. Paramount Plus Canada is a thing, and it's like $6. Oh, sorry, Paramount Plus for Canada is a thing, and it's like $6. But like, none of these shows, like, bro, I don't want to watch. I don't care about Survivor. I'm not gonna watch, you know. I mean, South Park. Sorry, I'm not gonna watch, you know, CBS News. Like, get this out. I don't know. Like, maybe. I don't know. It's just like, that's the one holdup. Netflix and, you know, even Disney Plus, a lot of people have that. But when you get into these other things, I mean, it's very smart of Paramount Plus to do this, because if the show's a hit, it can basically do to Paramount Plus what The Mandalorian did to Disney. Like, people are on the fence about Disney, and then it's like, bro, The Mandalorian is unreal.
Right.
Bro, who is it?
Yeah, but also it's just like, if you're making this big thing with big production value, like, don't you want the masses to see it? I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about exclusive games, but it's just a little weird. But speaking of the Halo movie, or the Halo show, apparently they renewed it for the second season already. No one's even seen an episode, and they're renewing it again.
That's like the Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings, they're making like 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
$200 million budget per season. So that's $1 billion total, all paid up front.
And people, that's like, hate it already.
I mean, Jeff Bezos literally did that and paid for it. But it's like, brother, what if season 1 sucks? Right? What if season one sucks? And then it's like, we have four more seasons that we're like already making. So it's like, it's kind of maybe a little bit too late to like write the ship and get rid of characters people don't want and hate and stuff. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, dude, I mean, the best example of that is like Star Wars with like, Rise of Skywalker or whatever, with like the extremely forced relationship between Poe or no. Yeah. What was like the main guy's name? Poe? Was it Poe? Finn.
Yeah.
And the other girl, and they like forced them and it was awkward and everyone's like, this came out of nowhere and it wasn't set up at all like this. We don't want this. And then the next thing they're like, don't even care about each other. And it's like, now if you watch it, the continuity is strange and it's like, but it is kind of crazy where it's like, if they're already renewing seasons and like going into post-production, are they going to be able to get the feedback from the first season? Or they're already like balls deep in season two.
They're like, this is what it is, you know? Yeah. And Lord of the Rings fans, they're a different breed, too. I mean, I grew up with Lord of the Rings. I'm in that community. I love it. But the one still that they published of the dwarf-like queen, and everyone was like,
she should have a beard!
Trash!
She should have a beard! It's mentioned!
She should be ginger. She should have a beard. Gimli literally says they're indistinguishable from men. And
I mean, yeah, but that's the thing. So it's like, I mean, obviously, I think canonically, she should have a beard, right?
Yeah.
Based on what we know. But it's like, obviously, you have some like woman with a big beard, a lot of people who don't know that and don't remember that specific line are gonna be like, what the heck is going on? So it's totally understandable why it was done, but it's also like, get like you know what I mean, really commit. I want to see like bearded women dwarves. That's what I want.
That's where I am. Like, if you're gonna buy an IP, if you're gonna invest the capital to buy an IP,
like,
you gotta honor the IP. Otherwise, you make up your own. If your plan from the beginning was to make up our own world and our own characters and our own rules, just do it and call it something else, you know?
Just make it, like, hire, like, the most attractive woman possible and then just give her a beard and just, like, let's just see what happens, you know what I mean? Like, let's just get Zoe Kravitz, get her in there with a beard, with a big burly beard. That's your dwarf woman. Let's go, baby. Obviously, at the end of the day, if it's a good storyline, no one's going to be talking about this, right? Mm. Like, the only reason people are talking about this is because, like, that's all they're giving us. It's like, hey, look at this character. And the beard, no beard controversy. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? They wanted us to talk about these images, and we are. So right. I kind of like how Halo released, like, a big trailer, and it looks so much more intriguing. There's, like, so much more to discuss. Like,
yeah.
Lord of the Rings gives you, like, these little tiny tidbits. And so people, like, they, like, you know, oh, these Lord of the Rings fans are overanalyzing. It's like, of course they are. You gave us a couple of images. That's all we have.
And we've been waiting for this forever. It's our favorite series. Like, you know, it's important.
And it doesn't help that they're already coming off of the Hobbit trilogy, where Peter Jackson was like, let's just make a ton of stuff up. And so they're please, guys, can we write the ship?
That the Hobbit movies were like such a disaster in production. That dude, Peter Jackson, was literally, there's like footage of him coming up and writing the script before the next scene. He was like writing the script as they're filming. And it was like, chaos there. It is wild. It's amazing those movies like came together like they did, but it was not good.
That's a nightmare. Let's jump over for one of our last topics, or the last topic. Last Ark shattering records, 1.3 million players on Steam. I think the number two spot overall on Steam for most played game concurrently. Let me just see if I can find the overall chart. This one's funny. Okay, Lost Ark gets a little bit inflated because of drops. Same thing happened with Valorant. Same thing happens with New World, I think. A little bit. They get the drops. Everyone's watching it on Twitch, and it's definitely way up there in viewership. But at the same time, like, even right now, there's 729,000 people playing concurrently. Which is pretty damn good. That is very, very, very high.
Can someone, like, tell me why this game is so popular? Like, it's not even to say the game is bad. It's just, like, an action RPG. Like, these aren't even the, like, wouldn't, like, a new Call of Duty be more like, why is it Lost Ark?
I think everyone knows about it because it's been out for a long time in the other regions, and they know what it entails, and it looks better than a lot of games they played. It's more of, because with Diablo, there's always new seasons and stuff, but it's not an MMO with raids, with mechanics. Like, there's like 30 or 40 person raids where there's these big like turrets, and you have to shoot the turrets at a dragon to bring it down, and then you jump off the ledge and you fight it in the pit below. Like, they're epic battles. You just kind of stomp monsters in Diablo. I would say the only, you know, bosses that come close to the Lost Ark stuff is probably Path of Exile, some of the kind of end game uber bosses like the Shaper and everything. But
yeah,
Lost Ark does have some pretty long term grind, and it's free. It's free. It's a free game.
That's right.
Right?
So I think there's a few factors at play here. Obviously, the last thing you just said is a huge factor, is that the fact that the barrier to entry is literally zero. It's just your time. That's the only investment you have to make, is dump some time into it, see if you like it. So that's factor number one. It's free. Factor number two, what dungeon crawler is going to compete with it right now? You know what I'm saying? It's the novelty. It's the new one that's bona fide. You know what I'm saying? Well, new. I say new, but it's kind of new. It's new, but it doesn't have any competition in its novelty. Like, everyone who's in that community that likes those styles of games, they've pretty much exhausted the content of the other games. And it's kind of just like a hobby thing. It's like logging into Destiny every week and doing your weeklies. Even though you don't really need to, it's just what you do. So that community now has something new to interact with. So lack of competition is number two. The final factor is the customizability of your character. A lot of people are doing it and diving in and spending a lot of time flexing on social media. Like, this is the character that I've made. This is what they look like. You know, it's like, it's almost like Waifu Simulator, you know, in some regards. Yeah. But and I think that has a lot of draw, honestly, in the gaming community. There's a lot of people really into anime.
Yeah, I keep seeing, though, like, people, like, I remember on Steam, like, a top-selling thing was, like, the $100, like, Lost Ark bundle or whatever.
Yeah, they made bank already.
But what even, like, is it just, like, more vault spaces and stuff like that, like the usual stuff?
There's a little bit of pay to win stuff in there. Like, you get a pet,
like,
that can, like, pick up loot for you. I think you do get like an experience bonus. I don't know for sure. I don't want to, like, I'd have to go look at the pack, but
yeah.
You know, the thing is I think it will lose a bit of steam. I honestly thought it felt so boring. Like, I played it for 3 hours. And I just felt like I was smashing buttons, and everyone's like, well, you got to get to level 50. Like, you got to get to the end game. And it's like, do I? Like, am I going to grind all the way to level 50 and then I'm going to start having fun? No, I don't want to do that. I want to have fun now. And it just doesn't feel like I'm excited for it. I think I would rather just wait for Diablo 4 and Path of Exile 2.
I remember watching a review that's like, oh, if you really want to, like, participate in the raids, you're gonna have to have like alt characters to do these like weekly challenges and stuff, and I'm like no, I don't have time for this. Like, I'm already doing that crap on Destiny. I don't have time to like have Lost Ark alts like in the 2 weeks before Witch Queen.
No, exactly. So timing for me is a little bit out, but honestly, and
also,
like,
it depends. Good.
Well, it's just like, I am a content creator, and if I'm gonna spend a bunch of time on a game, I have to cover it. I can't just live in a game and play an MMO casually. Like, it's just too much time. I don't have enough time in my day for life. I don't have enough time in my day for sleep. So, you know, I can't throw Lost Ark into the mix unless I'm actually covering it. And the game's old. It's like 3 years old. You go on Lost Ark before the game even launched. People are getting Russian accounts and going on the Russia servers, and they're playing it. There's optimal rotations for the paladin 3 years ago. It's like, what am I gonna possibly make
what
a video
bring
on
to the table?
What am I gonna do? I'm gonna make a video on, like, hey, this is a good moneymaker. Actually, you idiot, that's 15% slower than this other tactic that you can do. Like, no, I'm done. I can't.
I was gonna say, it also depends on like the kind of gamer you are. Because if I wasn't a content creator, this is probably the kind of game that I would really dive into. Because I've always been the kind of gamer that's like, I don't want to play 8 different games. I want to play one game for a long time. And I want to main it for a while until the next thing that really sucks me in. So games like this that have so much you know, longevity to them in terms of the kind of time investment that you're going to have really do appeal to me as a game. That's one of the reasons I stuck with Destiny, is because it's like, it's not going anywhere. It's going to continue evolving. So if I wasn't a content creator, I can say this is probably the kind of game I would dive into. So I totally get it, why it's popular. But I think that's all of our topics, yeah?
Yep, that is it.
So now what we're going to... Gamers, we're not going anywhere. We're done with the topics, but we're going to go into RGH After Dark, baby. And that's when we're going to answer your guys' questions. So go ahead, ask away about, you know, gaming, whatever, and we're going to do our best to answer you. Now, as you guys are asking your questions, as you guys are waiting to hear me, why don't I talk about our one and only sponsor, Advanced GG, baby, the best and only clinically proven gaming supplement out there. They've got a bunch of amazing flavors. They got Cactus Kiwi Lime, Tash Mango Splash, Sir Demetrius Sour Watermelon, Travel Danielle, Strawberry Banana. They got it all, gamer. And if you use code RGH, you get 10% off, and you help us out. Awesome.
There you go. There's definitely a link in the comment section there.
Someone said, how's the Destiny channel going, Tash?
It's popping. We're at 13,000 subscribers. We got monetized. Well, tomorrow we'll get monetized. We'll pass the threshold tonight. And then my partner manager for the main channel is going to get it monetized tomorrow. So that honestly, I think it does help get more views once it's monetized, especially if you're putting mid-rolls in, because I think it just tells YouTube like, oh, you can make money on this, you should share it. You know, compared to the other stuff. Because from what I've heard, YouTube can monetize any channel they want and any video they want. So
if you turn off monetization, there's still going to be ads there. Because yeah. YouTube just gets the money. It just means exactly. You don't, which is so dumb.
But from what I've heard, and this is the difference, if you make an 8-minute long or longer video, you can put mid-roll ads. And typically on channels that aren't monetized, they don't put those mid-roll ads in there because it detracts from the audience and like they don't know exactly where to place it, so they don't do it. They usually just put them before or potentially before and after, but the mid-rolls aren't there. So if you are a channel that's monetized and have a mid-roll, it's more likely to share your video.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And like even one of my videos got limited ads on it one time, and I told my partner manager, I was like, hey, this one, like, there's no way I did anything wrong in it. The second he turned back on, or they got the monetization turned on, you could see it getting shared on the browse features and, like, in people's searches and everything. Like, you can literally just see a complete vertical change in the video, and it took off. And it's like, seriously? Like, that's how much it can affect you. So if you want to make it on YouTube, don't be swearing and doing anything sus, because you'll destroy yourself. Like, you got to be a little bit PG out there. But I'm having fun. I can't wait to get back into the game. I missed you guys.
Another question from Falcon Arrow, one of our awesome members, said, did you guys see the new Star Wars Old Republic trailer?
Oh, we did. That was
we
in the thing.
About, we talked about talking about that tonight, but we didn't commit to it.
Yeah.
The game's still popping.
Yeah. 10 years, right?
Crazy.
Crackhead, else. Strawberry, or chocolate?
Strawberry.
I'm a chocolate guy.
I don't know. What are we talking about? Milk? Are we talking ice cream? True. What are we talking about? Are we talking just raw? If it was raw, it was normal strawberries, normal chocolate, chocolate. If it's ice cream, strawberries. If it's milk,
chocolate.
I don't know.
Chocolate. You gotta be chocolate.
he's totally.
Yeah, just someone said, I just wanted to say to MTash, I watched Frosty's video of you two and ZK, of you and ZK running trials. Great to see you slowly coming back. How do I get into these trials god teams, brother? I'm a better shot than MTash. Let me in there.
It's pretty expensive. Like, I have to sign up for the carries. It's tough, but they let me in.
You got to be a 10-year sub?
Yeah, pretty much.
Drink of the week, just mezcal. Neat.
You're drinking straight mezcal?
Yes.
Do you want to hear a funny story about mezcal? I'm with Tash.
No, don't tell this story. Don't tell this story.
All right.
Okay, fine, tell it.
So we're in San Francisco, and we go to, like, a nice taco place, right? Like, a really nice taco place. And we get there, and I'm like, listen, we're at this authentic taco place. I was like, I'll pay for it. Like, I want to get, like, tequila. Like, I want to get some actual, like, tequila. And I think I end up, like, talking to the waitress. Hey, what's the good? And she's like, listen, get this, like, mezcal is delicious. Like, this is so amazing. You know, and it's like, mezcal is tequila, but a lot smoky or whatever.
Yeah.
We get it. We have it. Everyone's like, oh, this is so good. Except for Tash. She's literally sitting there like,
it's smoky.
Oh no, we didn't even get raw mezcal. We got like it was a drink. It was like a margarita with mezcal in it. And yeah. And we're all so delicious. He's like a woody smoky flavor. I don't know. And we're like, that's the point. We're like, that's the flavor. That's why it exists. And he's like, oh, I don't like it or whatever.
They literally take the heart of the agave. It's the pina. Dude, they take the pina. This M-Tash, they put it in the ground, they set it on fire.
It makes it smoky.
On that same trip, we went to a seafood restaurant, an amazing seafood restaurant, and I got like a seafood medley pasta, and it contained, I swear, at that one restaurant, Tash tried four things he'd never tried before. He'd never had, I got oysters. I got oysters. He tried an oyster, never tried an oyster before. In my seafood pasta, there was clams. He'd never tried a clam before.
Never had a clam
before? I know. Then there was scallops. He'd never tried a scallop before. And I think there was a little bit of like calamari. He had never tried squid before. And I'm just like, so I'm literally like picking, I'm like giving him a little scallop. I'm like, that's a scallop.
This is a clam. Like a peanut butter sandwich diet or something? Like,
I eat buttery noodles with cheese on it, okay?
Oh my.
Well, I feel like I'm getting more adventurous because of Kakis, because he's kind of a foodie.
Good.
And we've gone to different restaurants and stuff. When we went to Lake Louise, I got a wild boar with I think it was a blackberry coulis. And they're starting to get some different things. I'm trying some different flavors.
And that wild boar was fire, dude.
Yeah, it was good.
I never thought I'd see the day where I called Kakis a good influence, but here
I am. We got elk tartare, too, and he's like, I have no freaking clue what a tartare is. This is, like, so far beyond anything they serve at Boston Pizza. This guy was like, they're, like, trying to describe a tartare to him, and he's like, I don't
understand. Isn't it, like, raw meat?
And you're just like, raw meat. You're like, why would you
You're like, I'm not
it?
Telling you what it is until you eat it. So I ate it, and then you're like, that's raw meat. And I was like, oh, no, salmonella. Is it overtaking my body?
You loved it, though. The tartare was delicious.
Yeah, it was good.
And we got the purple, like, potato bread that we got, like, 12 helpings of. We kept making it come back.
Yeah, they had these loaves of bread, but it was, like, purple. Wasn't it, like, lavender or something?
Yeah,
like,
it was had lavender something in it. Something.
It was delicious. So good. Warm, freshly baked bread. And so we got one of them, and then it was like, can we get another bread? We're having a couple drinks. And it's like, can we just have one more with dinner? You know what, a little bit goes on? We had seven loaves of bread.
Oh, my God.
And then when we're leaving, we're like, could we get one more to go? And she's like, I guess. And then we're like, we're kidding. Like, we're just joking.
Well, the prices they're charging at the Lake Louise Chateau, brother, we could have all the bread we want. Holy crap, let me tell you.
Well, how much does a loaf of bread cost that size? Like,
30
cents?
Fresh baked lavender bread? Like, that was good bread.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Sounds good.
But I'm still a baby with the alcohol. Like, I'm not ever going to drink a scotch or a whiskey on its own or any, like, no.
Listen, I'm going to make you some drinks that you would like.
Yeah, you can make me a mixed drink. I'll experience something. I'll try it out if you have some different flavors and tones.
I guarantee you, because I know you from the way you've been talking, I'm going to make you something that you're going to like. I'm going to use do you like tequila? In general?
Not overly.
I'm gonna make you a drink of some reposado tequila. It's like a sweet tequila. It's
okay.
Real scrunch crisper.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
We got a new membership, 17 months from John Steele. Thank you so much. And then a 200
hundies.
Joey, it looks like you're getting paid this week, baby. you're gonna get paid this week to edit.
Christopher's always been here. He's an absolute OG.
Yeah,
so,
thanks, man.
Something else though is like, yeah, True Vanguard. If you make me a drink, I want like the fruity tooty fruit surprise, brother. Because
I can give you the full spectrum.
I want you to make fresh homemade syrup.
I make my own syrup.
I buy Aunt Jemima's. Actually, no, yes. I don't, because there's no such thing anymore.
No, there still is. They just took the lady
off
like
of it. It's like cold. It's like old milk something.
So I'm drinking beer now, but like I'm kind of like over the beer kick. I used to drink a lot. Like beer was my go-to.
I don't drink beer anymore.
And now I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm on to ciders and Radlers, and we're just having fun, baby. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? I used to, a little bit, I was into the craft beer phase, and I realized I was like drinking IPA. I'm like, this actually tastes terrible. Like, this doesn't taste good. It's so bitter. I feel like some IPAs are good. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like in the craft beer scene, the IPA people are just trying to like outbitter each other. And it's just like, it's not good, bro. Like your IPA, it's like if you take a sip of like IPA and you're like, oh, it's delicious. No, it's not, brother. You're on the verge of death.
I'm going to disagree with you. I actually really like IPAs. Not all of them, but I do really like high IBU beers. I really, really do.
No, I'm over it, dude.
But I have cut out, I've all but eliminated beer from my diet. I only do spirits because I was trying to lose weight, and beer's like...
too much.
And beer's actually not good, that great. So I like cut it out. Baby, I'm down 13 and a half pounds since January 1st.
Honestly, there's so many things that you just don't realize how many calories. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to use a little bit of this, you know, ranch dressing. You look, one teaspoon is like 100 calories. And you're like, eh, what? That's not even enough for one third of my sandwich. But beer is just, it's too bitter for me. It just tastes awful.
Have you ever had, True Vanguard, the Stiegel, like, Rattler, the Stiegel Grapefruit Rattler?
Uh-uh.
Oh, Tash, have you had it?
I'm coming over. You can show me the way.
It is so good. It is so good. I'm pretty sure they use, like, real grapefruit juice, so it's, like, it's fire, and it's, like, it's only 2.5%, but you're, like, it's so much better. It tastes so good. And I'm like, you know what? I'm over the IPAs. I don't have anything to prove. I don't have to prove how tough I am for how bitter of an IPA I can drink. No. Originally, that was the case. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have this delicious Radler. I don't care.
Fair. Any other burning questions? Oh, there's one for you, TV. Do you think the seasonal content in Destiny should be more than weapons? Because every seasonal content feels empty, like the Battlegrounds and Astral Alignment.
Yeah, Michael, I'm pretty over the seasonal model that Destiny has going for. I know we're going to continue it moving forward. I totally expect that. But it doesn't hit me as a gamer. I don't like to have to do the same activity every week just to get to a short bit of exposition at the end of it. Splicer was all right. I could stomach it because I actually kind of enjoyed the seasonal activity with Season of the Splicer, and I really enjoyed the expunge missions and stuff like that. But lately, I just kind of, like, I didn't do much of the Wayfinder's Compass business. I just didn't care. I just felt like it's the new season, same old thing, you know? And I'm kind of over that template.
Well, it's also,
I wish the exposition was a little bit more varied.
Can I say, to that point, I very much agree, like, the activity itself can be good. Like, playing Dares is fun. Playing Astro is fine. But it's like, if I want to do the weekly mission, it's like, you have to go play a certain amount of Astral. You have to, and then you can get on with the thing you want to play. And then it's like, now you're making me play Astral when I don't want to play it, and now I'm getting sick of it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of over that template personally. The guns, I actually don't mind having weapons be a seasonal thing. I think that some really good content for Destiny Gamers is new suite of guns and gear that fits a certain aesthetic. And I will say, on the tail end of my criticism of Bungie, I will say that every season they seem to bring new meaningful perks and mods into the game that are a part of that new suite of weapons and gear. That does help make it different and interesting and desirable. So I don't mind that. If anything, I'd like them to bring more.
Right. And now you got to remember, going forward, these new seasonal weapons will have so much more variety because they're going to have the unique origin perk, right? Like, again, we know the season 16, the next season's seasonal weapons. So again, the weapons that drop from the season's pass, the weapons that come from that seasonal activity, they have that land tank perk, which increases your resilience. And I think resistance, I know resilience for sure, but still. So now it's like, damn, if I'm a Titan, you're telling me I get plus whatever resilience for my barricades every time I get a kill? Like, that's amazing. So now, like, oh, it's a new season and these new weapons, it's not just like, oh, another 600 RPM auto rifle.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Now it's like, it's got a unique seasonal or origin perk, completely new thing, maybe goes with the vibe of these type of weapons. I mean, the land tank is very Cabal-y, right? The big, obviously it's like a little bit of a Cabal because we're kind of teaming up with the Cabal. So yeah, that's going to be really cool going forward.
My vault had 500 things in it today at the start. And then Dado helped me clear out all the weapons.
Dado's helped me on Saturday. This guy's going around clearing everyone's
vault. All the sunset gear. And it was down to 250. But I still have a whole bunch of armor in there that it's like, it's a 61 roll. That's kind of spiky. But they were showing me that D2 armor picker or D2 armor. Anyways, I'm going to optimize a bunch of builds and then just delete kind of whatever else is left over. And I think it's going to be a nice, it's just a nice refresh. Anything, unless his reaction was, oh, it's God tier. Deleted. Gone. It's out of here. I just don't care. I know that the Foundry gear, all this new seasonal stuff will be better. And so I'm just, that's what I'm doing.
I'm so excited. And I think the origin perks is like every, like, it's just such a good way to differentiate one season to the next, right?
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Basically, the only way previously was like, oh, how do we make Season of Splicer exciting? Well, we make the Chroma Rush literally God tier, and it just has better stability than like any other 720. It's like, okay, well, you can't keep doing that forever because eventually it's just like everything's going to have to be max stats.
You can't do this podcast forever either, because eventually you get to the end of the topics and we go over time a little too much. So I think also, we're going to call it there.
Well, next week, everybody, we are taking a week off.
Yes.
Witch Queen's coming out. We're going to be grinding out content. So we're going to be heckin' busy. Yep. But we do genuinely appreciate you guys. Everyone who chooses, I know you could be anywhere tonight, and you know, 450 of you chose to be here with us tonight. That means a lot to us. Really appreciate that. Next week we'll be off. We'll be grinding. But we look forward to seeing you next time.
And if some crazy thing news drops, maybe one of us can just record like, oh, by the way, Bungie got stolen by Microsoft. Like, we'll try to shout out if there's some super crazy stuff. But I'm sure many of you are going to be playing Destiny, you know, Elden Ring, like 2 days later. It's going to be a very busy time. So thank you so much for watching. This was the Real Gamer Hour RGH podcast. I'm MTash.
I'm Kagas HD.
I'm Shu Vanguard.
We'll see you next week. Actually, no, we won't. You just said not. Oh, God.
The week after next week.
Oh, no.
The week after next.
Yeah, we'll see you sometime. Goodbye.